We've all been young people once and we know what it's like to struggle. And so a lot of the times, you know, you'll get big CEOs and you'll get, you know, famous entrepreneurs who've done really well, who want to give back because they know what it's like to start on that journey as a young person.
Welcome to the Everyday Changemakers podcast. I'm your host, Dave McManus. On the podcast, I interview everyday changemakers to learn more about their story, how they began, and what challenges that they had along the way. With this podcast, I hope to inspire other people to take action on the things that they're passionate about to make the world a healthier, safer, and more inclusive place. Daniel, welcome to the Everyday Changemakers podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's a pleasure.
So to kick things off, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO of Future Minds Network, where we run entrepreneurship programs to train students for the future. Today, entrepreneurship skills are the number one skills demanded by employers, yet they're not being taught anywhere. And so at Future Minds, we're really bridging that gap. I'm also an international startup mentor, judge, and giant in residence at Blackbird Ventures, Australia's leading VC firm.
That's awesome. And could you tell us a little bit more about the organization? You know, what the problem that you're solving and what does that look like?
Yeah, so the biggest problem is employers are demanding a new variety of skills with entrepreneurial skills at the forefront, and they're not being taught anywhere. So the world is evolving at such a rapid pace that everything's becoming unpredictable. And so entrepreneurship skills like creativity and communication and strategic thinking are all things that are increasingly important if we want to adapt to the future. And so we've seen it in the switch to remote work, to learning, to play in 2020. And so during our programs, we really help tens of thousands of students to have life-changing experiences of building their own businesses. They leave feeling more confident. They're creative and resilient. And many are now building companies that change the world. So there's always been uncertainty about the future, but COVID has really exacerbated these effects. You know, for example, the employment prospects for young people today are worse than they were in the global financial crisis, which is astonishing to hear. So there's a lot of work for us to do to secure youth futures, and entrepreneurship is the way to get there. That's the good news. It's not just because it builds skills, but also because it trains a growth mindset and can even create more jobs for our economy.
That is awesome. And before we jump into more about the program, what's causing you know, the need for young people to be reskilled? What are some of the key drivers?
There are a lot of key drivers and factors. And I think one of the biggest ones is automation. With the rise of automation, you know, technical skills for many industries get automated and outdated really quickly. And with so many changes, the efficiency of technical work can be twice as fast and sometimes twice as accurate as what we regular humans can do. And so it's called Industry 4.0, where essentially manufacturing technologies are changing the future world of work. So things like cloud-based computing, AI, augmented reality are shaking up what we know today. So the future of work is changing, and so the future of skills have to as well. There are huge technological advancements right now replacing many of the jobs that we have today. The good news is they're also creating new ones. And so 85% of the jobs that will exist in 2030 haven't even been created yet. To put this into context, we're almost in a global unemployment crisis. We're talking about structural unemployment, where there's a huge gap between the skills that future jobs need and the skills that we currently have in our labor force.
Seems like a pretty big problem.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Sure. That's super exciting. Could you tell us about your program? About, you know, how do you go from, obviously starting a company is a very difficult undertaking. How do you bring someone in who is a university student, completely fresh, never started a company? What does that look like? How has your program help them through that?
Yeah, so our programs can run anywhere from 2 weeks, 2 months, to even 2 days. And entrepreneurship is all about learning by doing. So from the get-go, students are chucked into the deep end. They spend the first few days falling in love with a problem, understanding it better, and talking to customers. Then it's all about building, prototyping a solution, and market research around what the biggest pain points are for the customer. At the end, they get to pitch to a series of investors and entrepreneurs, and the whole program is then supplemented by masterclasses for business basics taught by founders themselves. Each team then gets matched with entrepreneurs who've built companies alongside the founders of Airbnb, raised millions, and featured on Forbes 30 Under 30. And most of all, they get constant support from us as our team to troubleshoot anything, make sure they can integrate onto platforms like Slack, and work really cohesively as a team to build innovative solutions.
That's amazing. And I was wondering, what's one of the key areas or changes that you see in students? And the reason why I ask that is that traditional schooling teaches a certain way of learning and I guess behaving, but startups, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, 100%. The biggest transformation that we see is really developing a growth mindset. And what that means is a mindset where young people believe that their skills and their talents can actually be developed through hard work, good strategies, and working together as a team, as opposed to a fixed mindset where they might think that, you know, skills are only for a certain type of person, and you have to be this type of person to be an entrepreneur. So we really push that entrepreneurship is all about learning by doing. So in prototyping, we don't give you a lecture on how to build an MVP. We get paper and pen out and do paper prototyping with wireframes. We use Figma and design the UI and UX of apps. And this process gives young people confidence and shows that skills are learnable, that it isn't impossible. You know, obviously when you're an entrepreneur, you have to juggle marketing, comms, finance, and so you get to learn how to learn. It's called metacognition, right? So definitely the confidence that it builds in young people and the perspectives that they have on the world when they finish the program is always an amazing transformation that we see.
Yeah, for sure. I remember the first website I built, I think it was like 2013, and after I built it, I was like, holy, that word, but I was...
It's a moment, right? It's a whole moment where you're like, this is what I've built.
Yeah. And even though it didn't look that great, I'm like, I still built a website. Like that's incredible. Yeah. That's awesome. And do you have any aspects of the course around sales and cold outreach?
Definitely. Cold outreach and sales is a big part of the journey. Even as a social enterprise, you're not immune to the challenges of a business, and you still need to make money to be sustainable. So when the students first start, we have a big focus on customer discovery, really understanding who the customer is, what they're struggling with, and what can we do to help. And so sales isn't just about selling icy poles to an Eskimo. If an Eskimo needs warm clothing, you sell warm clothing. You wouldn't know what they want without having conversations first. So we always have a big focus on starting human first in sales, really getting to understand who is the person behind this problem and how can we support them to solve this.
And I'm curious about that with you know, your journey and when you first started. How did you get started and what were those first early steps like?
Yeah, with many people who've got involved in the startup phase, it was very much by accident. You know, for me, I never intended for Future Minds to be a company. It started off as a gathering of 100 young Aussies and then it turned into a hackathon where we developed solutions to the problems we saw in the world. And then it turned into a company. And so I started as a teenager and ended up being an educator. I even designed entrepreneurial curriculum lately in my own arts and business major at Monash. And so I'm a really big believer that nobody really knows anything and we're all on a constant learning journey. There's this strange beauty in entrepreneurship, I think, where it's a career that has one of the biggest barriers to entry, but also the lowest barrier to entry as well. On one hand, you might have inadequate skills to support your business, for example, or lack of access to customers or policy barriers. But on the other, you have this limitless capacity to learn. So all of the skills that you'll need will either be one, picked up along the way and learned by doing, or two, you can outsource them to somebody else who's more skilled than you. And so, you know, to answer your question, it's almost a combination of luck, hard work, and a really supportive community to be around you as a startup founder.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think one consistent theme that we've had from our guests is, you know, that just-in-time learning. Mm. In that, you know, whether you're creating a social enterprise or, you know, something else, you're never going to know everything.
And it's exactly, yeah,
a blind journey. But as long as you have the right mindset to, you know, seek advice from experts and continuously learn along the way, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. I started from absolutely nothing, no base knowledge whatsoever. And now I'm an international startup mentor helping early stage startups in 30 startup programs around the world. And it's unfathomable for me to be able to start from nothing and now be able to advise others. I think that's the whole process of entrepreneurship. A big part is really acknowledging that you don't know everything, because that's going to be a big driver to success, because you're constantly going to push yourself and your boundaries. And every day you'll be thinking, what else can I learn? What other things can I do to really push myself?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know personally from my experience, it's incredible the people that will help you along the way. If you're humble and, you know, you're really looking to learn. Because I think a lot of people who've been through the journey know, you know, how difficult it actually is.
Yeah, 100%. I always found that interesting because I talk with a lot of young people, and whenever we have these conversations, the theme that really constantly comes up is, I'm just one young person who's probably an idiot and doesn't know where to start. How am I going to start? Who's going to help me? But the reality is, a lot of people are helping young people and want to help young people because they've been there before. We've all been young people once, and we know what it's like to struggle. And so a lot of the time you'll get CEOs and successful entrepreneurs who want to give back because they know what it's like to start a business as a young person and what that journey looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, right now, obviously with the coronavirus and, you know, the economic markets, it's a really tough time to be a young person. But with any downturn, we see a lot of innovation. So on that note, what are some of the areas that you see of really big opportunity that students are tackling and that you're kind of focused on?
That's a great question. You know, in all of our projects, we work on the Sustainable Development Goals, which are 17 goals that are the blueprint for a better future designed by the UN. So there's things like clean water, quality education, gender equality. And I think there's huge room for innovation and development in each of these sectors, because where, for example, if you pick SDG 4, education, you have less people in poverty. And if you pick, say, SDG 12, responsible consumption and production, this helps climate action, number 13. So it's really hard to pick one in particular, but I definitely think that one of the biggest opportunities for innovation are the Sustainable Development Goals and working with young people to challenge existing systems and, you know, create new solutions to them is a great way to start unlocking this potential. And I think it's not just from, you know, the youth side, because companies definitely have to innovate too, with 45% of Gen Z wanting to work for companies that make an impact on the world. And so there's a huge movement to what is our role as global citizens and how can we be more conscious about our everyday decisions?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting about, you know, at least in the US, there are so many different movements happening. And the lines between what your company believes in versus, you know, what society and, you know, people living in communities believe in, you know, that line is no longer there. So I think especially for Gen Z and millennials, that's a really important thing.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's really interesting because we see like the proliferation of social media and how that's changed, almost like digital activism in a sense, because you get a lot of young people who are more aware of the world around us. And what's happening is it's almost like, I don't know if you've heard of the term like compassion fatigue, but a lot of young people are almost overwhelmed by all the problems, because beforehand, like we didn't actually have Like our problem was we didn't have as much access to information, but now our problem is we have so much information and we struggle to actually process it. And so now more than ever, we're aware of everything wrong that's happening in the world. So it feels like it's collapsing down onto us. And so young people are trying to step up more. People like Greta Thunberg, people like all the other climate activists, which haven't been to the UN, but are still really prominent. And so we see like social media in lifting up these young people's voices.
Absolutely. And this is a question I ask every guest. What would be your advice for somebody who's out there, who's seeing issues in the world, something particularly they're passionate about, how to get started? How do you take action? Because that is definitely a missing link for a lot of people out there. You know, what are those first steps look like?
The first step I would say is start human first. And what I mean by that is if you're not facing the problem and it's something that you're really passionate about, talk to somebody. Start with open and honest conversation, because really behind every problem is a story. And behind every story is a human being. And being able to really understand what they're going through will help you to really make a bigger impact than you could ever imagine. A lot of times when we think about problems, it's easy to sort of jump in headfirst and think of like the best solutions that we think might solve the problem. But the example I give to actually a lot of my students is, you know, you can make the best product in the world, but if it's not solving a painful problem, it's sort of useless. And so say, for example, you build a chair and you build the best chair ever with the comfiest cushion for your butt. And, you know, you can sit on it for 48 hours and your butt won't hurt. But if the person that you're selling to has severe back pain, they're going to do everything they can to buy a chair with back support, but they're not going to buy the best chair in the world that you just made. And so I think if you're really passionate about a problem, it's really important to start to have these conversations and learn more about the human experience before you try to solve the world for them or change that world.
Yeah, that is such good advice. I'm going to add a quote that I have probably said on another podcast episode, yeah. But if Einstein had 20 days to solve a problem, he would spend 19 days, you know, understanding what the problem is. And that's definitely coming back to the point you're making.
Yeah,
100%. And I guess it's super important, especially with social impact. There's another third variable in there. It's not just building a product or a service and then selling that service. There's also how does that affect and impact the problem that you're solving in society.
I think in any business, one of the keys to success is really knowing your customers well. Because particularly for like a product or a service, if you don't understand the customer well, you won't be able to predict changes in the behavior. You won't be able to adapt. So say, for example, like you have a really good product now and you're solving one problem. But if that problem changes, then you're screwed. Your whole business is underwater. But on the other hand, if you took that time to understand what are all the problems that customer is facing, and being able to track those consistently, you might even be able to pick up trends and patterns before those things happen. And you'll be able to really build a strong relationship and loyalty and trust and even credibility with that customer. And so, you know, consistent growth and success really lies in how well do I know my customer and how well am I catering to their pain points?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if we look forward with Australia particularly, things are changing rapidly in the technology space, and so many industries are moving forward. It's exciting that there is the opportunity to create new solutions and also solve a lot of issues that perhaps the industrial revolution has created.
Yeah, 100%. I think the LaunchVic just released, the Victorian government in the recent budget, LaunchVic just got another $186 million to help boost the economy. So there's massive room for startups there. And I think there was also a study done by Deloitte Access Economics where the startup ecosystem in Victoria has the potential to create, I think it was 15,700 jobs in the next year across the next 20 years. So that's, I can't even do the maths in my head, but that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, amazing. And For all of students listening out there, or young people, or I'm assuming that that's your main target audience, students and young people. Where can they find you, and where can they learn more about your program?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at Future Minds Network. Google us, we'll come up in some of the first search results. Or look me up, Nathaniel Deong, on LinkedIn or Instagram as well. I'm all over it. Love social media. But yeah, I think if I was to leave a last message for all the young people listening as well, it's just that, you know, just try. I think, you know, we often have failure and we think about this. Sorry, let me start again. But we often hold ourselves back because of failure. And, you know, when I was a young person, I remember for 6 years before I started Future Minds, I just felt so helpless to make a difference. And, you know, I didn't do anything because I didn't know how. But along the way, I realized I never needed to. All I needed to do was try. And so, you know, in life, you're going to fail either way. And let me tell you why. Like, if you're not failing, you're actually failing to fail. But if you are, that means you're trying. And at least that way you have a 50% success, like 50% chance of success. But if you're not trying at all, there's no way you're going to succeed. And so if you're going to fail anyway, you might as well go out with, you know, a spark.
That is awesome advice. And that really resonates with me after having done a startup that didn't work out. I would just add to that a lot of people don't realize that there's three vectors in, you know, building a startup or a social enterprise. It's social capital, you know, your network and connections, your skills and knowledge of how to build software or whatever. And then it's people, team. So like you build all those things, even if you fail a startup, you still get more points in those other areas. So it's not like the whole thing was a waste.
And ultimately, like, you learn so much more than if you just sat there. Like, you know, if you want to learn how to play soccer, no one tells you to sit on the bench for a week and watch somebody. That only helps if you know what you're looking for. If you want to play soccer, people ask you to get on the field and do drills. And so in the same way of building a business, it doesn't matter whether you win the championship, you're going to learn and build those skills along the way. So you haven't really wasted any time at all. You've just given yourself more opportunities to grow.
100%. Well, Nathaniel, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. It was a pleasure.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's another episode of Everyday Changemakers. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. If you can hit the subscribe button on the podcast player of your choice, that would be greatly appreciated. And head on over to dgmgrowth.com/everyday-changemakers to get the latest show notes. Thank you so much.